This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Ian Boltzmann on FUBAR Radio.
It's a good question, though, isn't it? Like, how do they live? Do you know what I mean?
Great question, yeah.
Welcome to the show. Nat was Nat telling me there just to go for Sarah rather than Sarah.
Well, we had a guest
because we've got
before,
Sarah Alexander on, but it could be Sarah as well in the studio to chat about playing a clitoris on stage in rejoicing at her wondrous vulva. The woman applauded herself. That's where we're at. Hang on, I'll come back. Wait, just stop. Wait. Stop, just stop everything. Consider that a false start, right? If this was a pre-record.
You've got 200, have you been framed for
if
that?
If it was a pre-record, we'd just start again.
We'd have
this
to.
Show, but we can't because it's live. Can you explain what just happened, Nat?
I told you to turn my headphones up. Actually, a bit more, I think. I could go up a bit more.
Okay,
quiet.
Okay.
That's better. Yeah. And then as I climbed back on my chair, I sort of misclimbed
just
and fell off it, basically. Yeah.
So this show isn't going to get any better than that. And you didn't even see it. Should we start again? She said go with Sarah now.
Yeah.
4:30 p.m. today. Welcome to the show, by the way. 4:30 p.m. we have Sarah and Alexander in the studio to chat about playing a clitoris on the stage in rejoicing at her wondrous vulva. The woman applauded herself. So that's where we're at. You didn't know it was all scripted, this show, did you not? At 5 p.m, KSI is on the phone to talk about his New Age tour. We are playing his song, New Age.
We are.
Apparently,
that's
what I've been told to say. We're playing that. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is, but you said they're very famous, apparently.
He's very big, KSI, yeah.
I'm not being, like, smart. I'm not going, I don't know who you are. I just don't know who it is.
Okay.
Don't know music,
find
mate.
Out. Talk to him.
Don't know
find
all
out.
The music people. Then at 5:30 p.m, Chris DeStefano is on the phone in us.
The US.
In the US. So he's on the phone from America. How about that for a treat for the show? We've got someone on a telephone who is in America at the time that they're talking to us. What time will it be there for them? Let's just talk about that.
Okay.
About nothing but that.
Okay.
Let's
well, keep asking. The show, what though,
no, let's not
no?
mention
don't
it.
Mention the
let's just keep saying, what time is it there?
Okay.
What is the weather like there? Welcome to the show. Now, if you listen to next week's show, you will remember that neither myself nor Nat are feeling 100% at the moment. Now, it's the same day as next week's show if you listened to that one. And we're still not feeling very well. In fact, I just had a Reese's cup. And I feel like I've got a stabbing pain in my side.
Is it nuts? You're allergic to nuts?
Do you know what? I'm not meant to have nuts.
Oh,
I'm not meant to have peanuts because it's bad for kidney stones.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not meant to have nuts, and I don't have nuts very often, but I do enjoy a Reese's cup.
Okay, I've never tried one, but...
Oh, they're delicious
peanut
now.
Peanut butter?
Yes, it's peanut butter in chocolate casing. Mm. Used to be, if you're as old as I am, brackets 24, in the olden days, you couldn't even get them over here. You had to wait till someone went to America and they had to bring some back for you.
That's true.
And nowadays, can't bloody move for them. I was in an Asda the other night and they had a stand.
just for Reese's Cups.
I wasn't there just for Reese's Cups, but I asked someone where the Reese's Cups are, and he said they are opposite the Yorkshire puddings. Genuinely true. He said, well, they're down this alley here, but also there is a bespoke stand for them because they're all on offer at the moment. And you'll find that opposite the Yorkshire puddings in the frozen section.
Fair enough.
Which is obviously where you put Reese's Cups.
Okay.
But I don't think it's the Reese's Cup that's done that.
What is it?
I think it's just general eating anything at the moment, I think, is causing me some issues.
Yeah.
So I'm struggling a little bit with my diverticular...
itis.
Well, no, not itis. That's only when it goes bad.
Okay.
It's diverticular disease.
Yes.
It's chronic now.
Well, we're also suffering from a case of the insomnia, aren't we?
We're both suffering from the insomnia a little bit. I slept on a sofa last night, but I'll tell you more about that next week. But neither of us are sleeping well, are we not?
No, because my...
In part because we're waking each other up and we have different demands at different times, don't we?
Yeah,
sometimes you're a bit... You get very randy late at night and I get very randy in the morning, so...
Yeah, I'm not a morning.
That's a recipe for disaster, isn't it?
But you also stay awake late.
I do, yeah, I do. Well, normally if I'm at yours in panic that you're going to jump my bones, but I'll be like, I'll be ready in the morning, but yeah. I don't want to do it before I go to sleep.
I have a little nap before I wake you up. Cat nap.
I think it's because you're... How can I put this? What's the polite way of putting it? I think it's because you're very aggressively rampant, I find, when you demand sex from me.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're kind of like...
Rampant for you to be anything other than on the bottom.
Do you know what? This is actually good, because we should talk about this now. Because this is a good time to talk about it in a safe space, you know, rather than when we did it at home.
Yeah.
I find that your sexual approaches, welcome as they are now, of course, that's part and parcel of our relationship. But I find that your sexual approaches... are humorlessly aggressive. So what I mean by that is, when you decide you want it, invariably late at night, you decide you want it.
Two or three times, probably.
You get right in my face.
There's no
element of playfulness to it at all. It's just very aggressive and very sort of like wide-eyed. So you bare your teeth a lot, which I've only ever seen animals do, but you do that. You really, get to me now! And I'm like, whoa.
Like I was in the room.
Yeah.
That's weird. Well,
you often are, sadly, but it's, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'll try and not be...
It would be sexy and if that was the mood of the day, but...
Right,
but
and you're always tired, aren't you?
I am always very tired.
Or ill, slash ill.
So sometimes I'm in a bit more of a playful mood, you know.
True,
which, let's just have a bit of fun. And if we do... You know, that thing you always want, then you know, maybe that could be a funny, playful thing as well, whilst being sexy at the same time. But it is very, very aggressive. I think if it was the other way around, there would be major issues.
If you were doing that to me, I think I'd be all right with it.
I'm not sure you would. Because I find in the mornings when we have sex, on the times that you agree to it, I find that regardless of what mood I go in, there is an air of resignation about you. Like, you're like, well, I'll just have to do it.
Right, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Of course,
I don't mean it's not consensual.
No,
I mean,
it's just
sort of like...
Let's get this over and done with.
Fine. And, you know, and every now and again you make noises that sound like you're enjoying it. But for the most part, you do just... You tend... Again, this might be telling you too much about our relationship, but she tends to... Once she's gone, fine, she immediately flips onto her front... And then, again, the only way I could word it, she basically presents. And then I have to, because there's actually a discrepancy in our height as well, me and Nat.
So
in an ideal world for me, Nat would be on top. In fact, that goes for everyone.
Well, I know
but
you said that
but
many times.
In an ideal world for me, Nat would
not
be on top.
Not ideal for me.
But because the length of our differences, length of our legs are so different.
It's true.
I've got to, and again, it sounds... This sounds worse than it is, but whenever Nat presents, I've got to take a run up. Like I can't
your
just
little legs going,
I can't just
true.
Move myself into that position because
no.
I won't get in that position
no.
just moving slowly.
It's
I've
tricky.
Got to actually run and jump and then hope that you know
you
like,
miss quite often, don't you?
I have missed and that
you
was an accident
wall,
and I've explained oh I see the
yeah,
yeah
no,
sorry,
no, no,
I
not,
thought you mentioned
not
else.
That. No.
But yeah, that's I think this is the only safe space I can bring it up though. Just chill out on the sex, will you?
Okay, it's good to get that out of the way.
That's how I feel about our sex life. It's good to get it out.
Good to get it out. No, I am tired.
It's like a dog, all the muscles contract.
Mainly because upstairs we're having some sort of Simply Red party last night.
What?
The people upstairs.
Beg your pardon.
Yeah. I don't. It was just so.
A Simply Red party. Oh, I can only assume like a sex party?
I've got no idea. There was a lot of laughing and some Mick Hucknall on repeat.
Right. What, the same song?
2 a.m. on a Sunday, taking a piss. I wouldn't mind if it was.
Was it the same song?
Something Got Me Started.
Yeah.
Stars.
Right.
And that one about I Love the Thought of Coming Home to You. That one.
Right. Okay.
Fairground. That's it.
Do you ever feel like they're playing them for you? Is there any feeling of that?
I hope not.
That it's being played loudly so you will hear it and get the message.
Well, run upstairs to go and see him.
Potentially.
No, I wasn't in the mood. I was in a bad mood.
That's normal.
Well, in a bad mood.
As I've said so far, that's normally when you're at your worst.
Reese
Finley has tweeted, has Nat tried Reese's Pieces?
I haven't. What's he put
that's
in brackets?
Really funny. If not, would you like to, oi, 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 well, hey, the lads? Because he's called Reese.
Oh, he's called Reese, so I'd like to try your piece.
Try Reese's Pieces?
Yes.
I bet Reese uses that as a chat-up line all the time.
Do you want to try, Reese's Pieces? My piece? Pieces.
I don't like Reese's Pieces.
What is Pieces be?
Pieces. What?
His balls.
No, they're a confectionery.
No, but what would his pieces be? Well, what's the oi, oi, oi?
I think he's just being a bit suggestive.
Oh, I liked it, Reese. This has got better, Reese, because this is the guy that I had the phone sex
you
with.
You had phone sex with Reese, didn't you?
Didn't go that well.
It didn't happen, did it?
Didn't, because he sort of backed out.
No, don't blame him. You're not blaming him. You didn't bring anything to the party.
I did
either.
Bring stuff to that party.
You didn't. Again, to back up what I've been saying so far, you just very aggressively said, come on then, do phone sex.
No, that's not what happened.
And that's not, people can't perform under those.
That's not what happened.
So, what did you do then?
You were demanding. You said to call in if you want to do it. Reese called in, and then, I don't know, I can't remember. I'm tired too.
Oh, you conveniently can't remember that you were very sexually aggressive with Reese.
Anyway, Reese, I haven't tried a piece or your piece.
There you go.
Of Reese's Pieces, but I'm up for it. Of the chocolate.
Tweet us when you finish your wank and we'll stop talking. this is a new house for you, isn't it?
Yeah, they've not done this before. I think it's just a new thing.
Why do you have such bad relationships with your neighbours?
The man opposite died. The one that was in the little shed. It was like a little shed.
What, the man who lived in the little shed died?
Yeah.
Was it what?
It's just a little flat. Like, I don't think you can call it a
flat.
You
can't talk as if we all know what your house
right.
looks like.
I mentioned it. It's not my house. It's in the flat sort of complex thing.
Right.
There's one opposite from my balcony where it looks less of a it just looks like a shed. There's nothing in it. I think he was a bit of a hoarder.
Right.
Because he used to just have T-shirts hanging up everywhere.
You sure that wasn't just his washing?
No, because they were all, it's just very
cluttered.
Or did
he have a tumble dryer in his shed?
Very cluttered, but he passed away, sadly, because I saw some people coming in to chuck everything in and skip. And I saw a fan and I was like, oh.
Should have got down there.
I could do with a new fan.
That'd have been all right, wouldn't it?
I think so.
Is it immoral? It's not immoral, that, is it?
Is it? I think it might not be okay, right?
Someone's going in the bin anyway.
Anyway, so he's passed on and now we've got the people upstairs who've got a dog.
Did you ever, those two things aren't relatable. Did you ever chat with the man in the shed? There's a question I didn't think I'd ask anyone today.
I said hello. He came. He used to come out his door quite a lot and just spit on the floor and go back in. So that wasn't the nicest thing to do. Didn't really like that. But
what if you moved? What was that when you were, when he saw you coming over?
Well, I just no,
like
I
marking
I just,
his territory. Maybe, just like, good
I wouldn't
girls
come
there.
Over.
She won't go past that.
I wouldn't have to go past his flat. He's downstairs, but I wouldn't have to go past it.
Did you not feel you should have like made some sort of effort with him if he was living on his own in a little shed?
I said all right to him.
What was his name?
I don't know. I've forgotten his name. I didn't really know.
You've forgotten his name.
This
is a lovely tribute.
I didn't do it. I didn't
know. No one suggested that you did do it.
Why, I didn't why, know his name.
Why you suddenly... Who says, oh, the man across the road died? I didn't kill him.
I didn't know his name, actually, ever.
Right. How's he died, do you know?
I can
Were there any police there?
Oh, no. But I did have the police come to my house a few Saturdays ago.
What, to ask you when the last time you saw the man in the shed was?
No, it was really loud banging on the door and I wasn't expecting anybody. So I thought, okay, what is this?
Do you normally expect someone to bang loud on your door?
Doorbell doesn't work. So if I'm expecting someone, they will bang on the door. But I wasn't. And then I went because I think I was having an afternoon siesta. We went to the front door.
That's a wank, isn't it? I mean wank.
You call it what you like.
Yeah, okay.
But I went to the front door, opened it. I went, what the hell? And it was a policeman. So I thought, shit, okay, I've just had a go at a policeman. That's not... But in my defence, how did I know? He kept banging for like 10 minutes. And then he was...
After he'd arrived.
No. Well, yeah, after he'd arrived at the door, he wasn't stopping banging. Then he said,
well, he was probably waiting for an answer, wasn't he?
But what if I wasn't in?
That kept was my knocking thing.
Like,
till I answered.
How long do you wait for? Like, for until 8 hours till I come
maybe
home?
Maybe you knew you were in. Maybe your skylight was open with your feet sticking out.
I didn't have a skylight.
Okay, go on.
But then he was looking for an old tenant that must have just moved out. And I had to go and get ID and prove who I was and do all
what
that
was,
kind of
what
thing.
Was the issue? Do you remember that time in my old flat when I lived in Luton, in that shitty flat in Luton, when the bailiffs turned up?
Yes, I do. You did mention that. Yeah, that's terrifying.
For somebody that previously lived there.
Right. Are they allowed to take... They're not allowed to take stuff, your stuff, right?
No. Do you know what? I'm not even sure legally they're allowed to take anyone's stuff unless there's been a court order. Unless there actually has been a court order. I think bailiffs are a legal thing. Unless it's been to court and there's a decision been made.
Because no one argues, repossess. You know, when you see bailiffs on any TV show or film, whatever, they just come in and take the sofa.
I tell you what, that needs stopping. That needs stopping on from the off, that does, that sort of
in
TV.
Films,
yeah,
TV stuff.
The TV shows like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Needs absolutely stopping that.
Right.
Showing people losing everything and following the bait, like their heroes or like their, you know, they're the scent, making them into little celebrities and fuck that, they're scum of the earth.
What do you think about bounty hunters?
Well, that's a difficult one, isn't it?
Why?
You mean dog, don't you? You're on about
well,
dog.
Well, that's the one that comes to my head. Dog, the bounty hunter.
With his wife.
And he's got
don't
his...
Don't know her name.
Not Gloria.
Wasn't there some sort of scandal about Dog the Bounty Hunter? Wasn't there a scandal?
There was a scandal.
Is that what got rid of him? What happened?
I need to find out what he did.
No, let's speculate on what it might have been.
No, I can't. I've got no idea.
I think what happened was...
I think he did... No, I think I know. Just Google it.
What do you think it is? Because you're saying things.
But I'm saying something wrong, saying something that was bad.
Dog the
Bounty...
Do you know
Hunter.
What? Do you know what? I reckon you'll get away with just Googling Dog the Bounty. I think you'll probably find it then.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Has his wife died?
Well, don't just read it out.
That's the top search. Oh. Oh, this is big.
Did Dog
She's
the
not
Bounty
dead.
Hunter wife...
Beth's not dead.
Right.
Beth's not dead. Don't worry. That's
it's
fine.
All going
Everyone
on this show today.
Down, like, yeah. It's a death hoax. Yeah, have you ever had one of them?
Have I had a death hoax? Well, yeah. We had that one, didn't we, when I stopped being Ray Peacock.
Oh, yeah.
And we said Ray Peacock had died, and Phil Jupitus did a lovely touching tribute to me online.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Said that the world spins a little slower tonight, something like that, and I had to tell him that I wasn't dead.
Don't say what I'm Googling.
So Nat's typing Dog the Bounty Hunter. She's put Dog the Bounty Hunter dead racist. Do you mean, like,
no,
dead as in very
that's
racist?
That's what I thought it was.
He's
there
dead
was,
racist.
He used some racial slurs in a phone call. I thought I'd remember that was right. What it was. He did have had a racist rant caught on tape, supposedly.
And is that what... No, I remember this. Was this something to do with his... daughter or something or some partner.
It's during a phone call to his son Tucker, whose girlfriend I don't know if he's still going out with her was black.
Yeah,
so that's what I remember, and I think that's what may have got him. I don't think he's on TV anymore.
Let's have a few
him.
More facts about Dog the Bounty Hunter. His second name is Chapman.
Dog Chapman
is
that's
his name.
That's not his real name, is it?
Dog Chapman.
Let me get to Wiki. Let me Wiki
he's
fact
apparently
him.
Apparently, is real world.
It's not still on air anymore. Eight seasons.
You've just gone straight past his name.
Dwayne.
It's Dwayne Dog Chapman.
Yeah.
Is his real life name.
Former bail bondsman.
Yep. Can't do it anymore.
No.
On account of saying all the naughty words on a phone call.
Controversy. She had a controversy.
Just hang on. Oh. A few more Dog the Bounty Hunter facts. Dwayne Chapman, aka Dog. Is 66 years of age,
he
believe it or not.
66, yeah.
66. He's got such a lovely complexion as well. But 66 years of age he is.
Yep.
He was born in Denver, which of course is in Colorado.
Of course it is, yeah.
His birthday is February the 2nd.
He's German on his mother's side.
His middle name is Lee.
His mum was a pastor for the Assemblies of God. Oh, here's coming another one.
He can't juggle. He can't juggle.
Didn't know that one.
a little fact for you here about... as we're doing Dog the Bounty Hunter facts. Little known fact, in 1976, according to Wikipedia, it might be incorrect, because of course anyone can correct Wikipedia, Dog the Bounty Hunter was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to 5 years in a Texas prison. He'd been waiting in a car when his friend accidentally shot and killed alleged pimp and drug dealer Jerry Oliver, brackets 69, in a struggle during a deal to buy cannabis.
I can tell you, he did serve around 18 months at the Texas State Penitentiary.
Again, according to Wikipedia, which isn't really a factual thing.
Okay.
18 months at the pen.
At the big pen.
At 18 months in the big pen.
When he was in prison,
Dog.
His first wife, according to Wikipedia, LaFonda, divorced him and married his best friend.
Yeah, that's LaFonda.
He's in an interview for Fox News, the real news channel.
According to Wikipedia, this is...
He claimed that while serving a sentence, he tackled an inmate about to be shot for attempting to escape, and a congratulatory remark by the corrections officer. congratulator. What did I say?
Congratulator.
Inspired him to become a bounty hunter, and he was paroled in 79.
1979 was his parole.
He's not allowed to own a firearm.
That's true. It was because he has a previous, prior felony conviction.
He's also been refused entry to the United Kingdom as a result of his conviction.
There you go. So there's good and bad sides to this.
We might do more facts on him later. I can't rule it out.
I mean, would there be any more facts about Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Loads of stuff according to Wiki. Yeah, loads of stuff.
I mean, you say we'll do some facts about Dog the Bounty Hunter, but why not me?
Oh, here we go. Sorry. Mark Stevenson says you can pay
for a song that
several hundreds of dollars to have a 5-minute conversation with Dog. You got to pay. How much? I'm going to look into this.
Have you nearly finished?
Yes. Play the song.
You can carry on talking.
I'm going to call Dog.
Carry on just vocalising your Googling if you want.
We got to tweet him.
How much do you get for it?
I don't know. Mark hasn't said you can pay several hundreds worth of dollars to have a 5-minute conversation with Dog.
That's a new thing, that, isn't it? There's a company that do it. I can't remember what they're called, but there's a company who do that where you can have a Skype call with people. I know Tim Curry's been doing them.
Oh, has he?
Of late. And they are, like, dead on 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I watched one of them on YouTube.
You can talk about anything. Is there a thing like...
I don't know.
Don't ask about
I've got no idea. The one I watched on YouTube, Tim Curry was saying something like, he said, do you mind if I smoke? And they sort of said no, and he got a cigarette. And then they suddenly went, okay, well, it was nice talking to you. So I presume there's some sort of countdown on the screen or something.
Right, okay.
And he was away. I don't mean dead. I mean, he was...
He was away from the phone call.
The phone call ended. The Skype call ended.
I wonder who else is doing it. I'm going to have a look. I'm going to see if someone is.
Okay. I mean, it would have been better if you'd have just let me do
my
cue. And I'm just going to put something else on now.
Little China girl, I hear her
is, of course, friend of the show, Chico, with It's Chico Time. I'm also a bit discombobulated today. I'm going to call him out on air. I'll call him out on air rather than do it to his face.
Who?
Half one this morning.
Who?
Barry Dodds.
What did he do?
Fucking sent me some message, some picture. Well, half one in the morning, day before a radio show.
He might think that your phone was on silent, to be fair to Barry.
Right.
So you might just assume you wouldn't read it until
but
the morning.
Let's presume that it might not be.
Where do you keep your phone, like by your bed?
My phone was, well, I wasn't at home last night.
Oh, of course, you were, well, so you would definitely keep it near you,
yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. Right. Just make sure I did get up.
Was it something that could have waited until...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, I see,
No one was dead, I don't think.
Right, did you reply to him at 1:30?
No.
Were you asleep?
Yeah.
Oh, but he didn't wake you up?
Yeah, it
woke
me up.
Oh, he did wake you up.
Yeah,
oh, God,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, because if my phone's on silent, it'll still vibrate. So okay. If I'm sleeping very lightly, that'll still wake me
mine
up.
Mine doesn't. I've managed to turn mine. You know you can turn it off where I don't want anything outside.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
Oh, can you turn your phone off?
No,
you
I don't mean off. I mean as in you can put it on night mode where it doesn't vibrate or anything from certain hours to the morning.
Yeah. Do not disturb, is it
that's
called?
It, what it's
but
called,
doesn't
yeah.
that people that are in your favourites? I mean, no, obviously, Barry's not in my favourites, but people that would be in your favourites.
No one can get through to you. You can make it so.
Do you mean airplane mode, that one?
No, not that one. It's do not disturb, but you can just...
You sound like you're pissed.
I might, I'm so
is
tired.
Is it airplane mode? No, not that one, no. I know what you're on about. It's a little airplane thing, isn't it? Not
that's
that one.
That's generally what I sound like on a flight, actually.
And then you went very posh. You went a bit like Joan Collins. Can you arrange for me... I mean, it's not the done thing, I know, but could you arrange for me... can you book me a guest card? I would like, really fancy this lady.
I mean, not if you're saying it like, who is
book
it?
Her on, so she's been on Doctor Who years ago.
Oh,
do you know I'm
yeah.
About?
Tell me who you like. Who do you like from Doctor Who? Sure. Who is it? What's
see
her name?
See if you can guess.
Is it Jodie Whittaker?
No.
Oh, Bonnie
years,
Langford.
That sort of thing, but not Bonnie Langford. No.
Is it? I don't know anyone else from Doctor Who.
You don't know anyone at all from Doctor Who.
What about Catherine?
The
great
Catherine off Doctor Who.
Yeah, Katie.
No. Keep going.
Is it? What about Katie Manning?
Okay. Do you think it is Katie Manning?
I think it is Katie Manning.
It's Katie Manning.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well, let me see. I think I could get her on the show.
I find her very attractive.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I reckon I could probably get her on for next week's show.
Like kind of really sexy, really.
I think she could be. I think she is sexy. I think that she'd be. I feel like she'd be quite tactile.
I would like that.
She'd be very good at holding hands, hugging, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think I could potentially.
Would I literally have to scrape her off me?
I think it should more be on me, to be honest.
If she came both,
in,
really,
I think
really,
they'll be
yeah.
on both. That's yeah. what I think.
We'll see if you can get her in next week.
I think I've already done it for next week. So
okay,
lovely. I think that she will be on next week's show for you.
Oh, well, I hope I get on with her then.
Yes.
Do you know what I hope? I hope that by the show after it, I still smell of her. Not in a horrible way.
No, it's a nice way. I think I know what you mean.
I can still smell her on me.
I can smell her on my hands.
Yeah. That's the weirdest link we ever did. What sort of compliment, Katie Manning, is it to go?
Well, do you know what?
Katie Manning's on next week's show. I can still smell her on my hands.
We held hands for the whole interview.
I think we will hold hands for the whole interview.
She's already been on.
And then she ran around this desk after the show.
She did. She said she is a perfect hugger.
Yeah.
Great at hugging. She is good at hugging. She gave us a kiss, didn't she?
She did give us a kiss as well, yeah.
Yeah. She signed a DVD for someone who works here.
That's right.
And then she swept off into the night.
And then I went downstairs and I hid.
No, she's incredible. She's a force of nature.
I liked her an awful lot.
She knocks water over a lot, she said. But, you know.
Well, these are all spoilers,
oh,
aren't they?
Oh, yeah, that's true. We spoiled a lot for you for next week.
Do you think she was drunk?
No.
Tell you what, if she was drunk, then she'll wake up tomorrow morning with a proper banging in her head.
Well, I think she's like that every... I think she's
no,
just got
listen,
energy.
No, stop.
Mm. Oh, God.
Have you ever laid in bed with the banging in your head that you just can't bear? You can't stop that ceiling going round up there. So you stumble to the sink cause you dive for a drink and bang your leg on a chair. You want to make a cup of tea but the teapot can't be found. So you stumble back to bed with the banging in your head and you can't lay down. You wish they'd never have brought that homemade side around. Oh, your eyes are hanging out and the pattern moves about on the eyelid down. Oh, the cobra's on the floor but the skirting pulls up in the air. And you say it's gonna stop.
Yeah, you say it's gonna stop.
And ever touch and ever drop.
Ever touch and ever drop.
And you think I don't think.
And you think I don't think.
I'll never have another drink.
I'll never have another drink.
Then you wake up in the morning and you wish you'd never gone in the pub last night. Alarm bells clanging and your head's still banging with rolling smile. Then your mate come and knock, shout through the letterbox, you're coming out for a pint. So you stumble out of bed before you know it, you've done it again.
Chaz and Dave, banging in your head. I want to talk to you about Chaz from Chaz and Dave, but I'm going to do it next week,
okay,
if that's
okay.
That's fine, we are joined now by Sarah Alexander. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
How are we?
Good. That was the sound of my childhood right there.
Chaz and Dave?
Yeah.
I did one of the last interviews with Chaz before he died.
I didn't know that.
Mm. Yeah, I did.
I heard...
it was lovely. I listened to it the other day.
Oh, you did?
I listened back to it, yeah, for the first time. It was a lovely interview. Go on, you heard what?
I heard the interview, maybe it wasn't an interview, it was a documentary on a radio station, I can't remember, about why he came to play and make the music he did.
Okay, he was an intriguing man, he was a lovely man, he really, really was. And it's very sad that he's away. You know, there's moments of tragedy around Chaz and Dave, really. Indeed, we spoke about those in the interview at the time.
Yeah, we did, actually, and they were looking forward to being...
Well, they were back.
They were doing the album, weren't they? Yeah, they were doing some live dates and stuff. So yeah.
I mean, he was better again. He had cancer. Mm-hmm. He was better. He's in remission from cancer, but you know, a heart attack or something.
I believe so.
Something like that. Either way.
Yeah, it was sad. It was nice. We really liked him.
Yeah. But we're talking now. Here's the thing. We got slightly confused.
Oh no.
Because your press release landed. I don't read them anyway. But I happened to notice on the top of the press release that the show you're promoting has finished.
The show is closed.
Yep.
But
are you just here to whine about that?
Yeah, exactly. Where's the transfer?
Are you just going to call out producers?
Yeah, exactly. So if anyone's listening, but also I've got my third novel comes out at the end of August.
So you're proper multitasker, eh? You have a portfolio career, right? Because you do lots of different things.
That's a lovely way to say that.
I only learnt it myself about a year ago, I have a portfolio career and learned lots of different things.
Yeah.
I like it as a phrase.
I do too.
Yep, you can have it.
I'm not very... Thank you.
We can share it.
I'm not very good at doing one thing.
No.
At all times.
No, why? For why?
I don't think it's because I get bored easily.
That's mine.
I don't think it's because I'm greedy either. I just think I really love milking different bits of myself.
Yeah, yeah. What a lovely image.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I hear what you mean. I'm always slightly confused by creative people that have one avenue. Do you know what I mean? Who just do one thing.
Yeah, I hear you. Although, of course, like if you stay on one track, you can get very deep into what you're doing, get really excellent at it. But I don't subscribe to the view that only if you do one thing can you excel.
Yeah.
I think it's if you give something 500% focus, even if it's for 20 minutes or 20 years or just give it everything, you know, you can make something good.
But it's properly eggs in one basket then, though, isn't it? So if it's something that's that's results-led, which can be, and from a business point of view, even creative stuff is results-led. So, you know, you want something to work. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, why did you do it? Mm-hmm. And we can get to the argument of, well, I want to express my creativity and all that sort of thing, which is inherent in all creative people. Mm-hmm. But if you're relying on one thing, when that thing falls apart, and it will... It will. That's the nature of the beast, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, it's cyclical, these things.
Totally.
So those things will fall apart or will become irrelevant, you know, mm-hmm. that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Then if you've got nothing to back it up with, you're knackered.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's to do with that for me.
Yeah.
Not getting knackered.
Yeah.
and doing different things really feeds me. It charges me.
Okay. Do you have a preference of stuff in the stuff you do? If you had to kill one of them. If a wizard came in, right? If a wizard came in,
I
went,
like
right,
this. Go on.
I'm going to kill one of them. Either your writing career or your performance career. I'm going to kill one of them. And if you don't choose one, I'm going to kill them both.
Both.
You've got 5 seconds. Would you really? Yeah, just fuck it all off.
Yeah. I can't. I'm not going to choose.
Oh. Sorry, not career. Children. Your children it is. That's what they're going to do. It's going to kill your children. You've got to choose one. Have you got children?
I've got two.
Oh, my God. This is even better. You've got to choose one. Which one?
Well, see, this is the existential crisis. The eldest one is on almost every day.
On
the
what?
The cloud. Which one are they going to choose?
Right, okay.
Which one would they save, actually?
Yeah.
It's like a little. It's like a cloud that follows him in his preteen angst.
Okay. So how old is he?
12 going on,
50.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've stayed at that. And your other one, boy or girl?
Boy. And another he's boy. Heading towards 7.
So more fun.
Yeah, he's...
So it's the older one you'd get the wizard to kill.
Oh.
You have to.
You got to choose.
Can I just do like... I have to. Can I like summon my own magic and kill the wizard for giving me such a stupid choice?
All right, okay. We'll do it as a role play. Try and do that now, right? So, and I'll tell you what happens, right?
No, I'm wizard. Descendant from Sardinian witches. You don't want to mess.
We'll see. It's only a role play. You don't do it in real life, right? But here's the thing. I'm the wizard, right? Come in, right? Right. I'm going to kill one of them, right? You've got to choose now or I'll kill them both. Then what do you do?
I say, well, I've read those stories where you have to see I'm ready to sacrifice, and then when I put one on the marble slab, you'll say, oh, yes, my child, you can keep them both because you were ready.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm a real twat of a wizard.
So whichever horrible. One, if you're the real twat, then whichever one she says, you'll just kill the other one.
No,
just
no,
to be
no,
a real twat.
Not necessarily.
That'll be the ultimate.
We don't know what's going to happen. Well, let's see how it plays out.
Okay, I would say, come and have a coffee.
Oh,
right. Be fun, we'll talk about it. Right. And then I'd call one of my great aunties.
You've got 3 of your 5 seconds left.
And I would get her to do something little hocus pocus. You drink 1. It and die.
Right, there you
and
go.
And I rule the world.
Right, I'm drinking the coffee now, right? You think it's going to kill me, right? But I've already done a counter spell earlier on. And as I drink it, both of their heads just fall off. You did that.
Oh, no.
That was you, Sarah.
It's really dark.
I know.
I love it.
What should we talk about now?
Well, we could talk about the way I feel like I'm 5 on this stool.
Do you want to do a counter on to me? Do you want to threaten some of my family?
No, you know what? I actually, I'm really passionate about what ifs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I often refuse to do them in the family. Like, people say, well, what if, And I say, I don't understand a what if.
Yeah.
Even though if I'm leaving to go somewhere, I'm like ultimate packer of what ifs.
Okay.
But I refuse to talk about it. But I don't know what that's about.
No, I think that's correct.
Like, what?
Because here's the thing, right? That I genuinely think, even as I was doing that then, in my head, part of me was going, just don't answer.
Yeah.
Just don't answer.
That is true.
And we used to, we'd often say it when people who worked here and that.
Yeah, and they will always
and
answer.
And sometimes
no,
I'd have, like,
no.
other people who work on the show into the studio and stuff, and then I'd sort of go, oh, I think they might be uncomfortable, and I'd sort of, like, let them go away and stuff. And we used to say to them, you know that if I tell you to come in and sing, you don't have to do it. You won't get sacked if I say sing this song and you don't.
It's a funny... Is it a polite thing?
No.
Is it an obedient thing?
No, what do you think it is? What do you think that is? Is it just a peer pressure-y thing, I guess?
Or
I guess
he wants a please.
It might because it's...
Get on with
if it's a live show... That you feel like, shit, this is happening now. I've got to, you know what I mean? Maybe it's that. I mean, I'm not doing it in that way. I'm not.
No, but maybe it comes across in that way. You think, I've got to say something, otherwise I'm going to ruin the show or something. I don't know. Maybe it's something like that.
It's a
power thing.
Yeah. So do you think that's what psychologically I'm doing? I'm like,
I think you are.
Flexing my muscles.
You
and stuff.
Are.
It's horrible, isn't it?
It is really horrible, actually. Next time, don't reply any more of this.
I just go like that.
I think, dude, just glare at me, Yeah, that'd be brilliant radio, because then I'll be like, oh, shit, it's silent on the radio. I've got to say something now.
Yeah.
Silence is powerful on the radio, isn't it?
We're all geniuses in retrospect, aren't we? So the show was called Rejoicing at Her Wondrous Vulva, the Young Woman Applauded Herself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a thing, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I love titles like that, sometimes I hate them. I'm undecided on this one, but do you know what I mean? Sometimes I go, oh, I love that.
Well, my colleague who's the writer...
Yeah.
Excels at
Bella.
Extremely, Bella Heesam excels as really long titles.
Yeah.
But I suppose this one in particular was an actual quote from an ancient text.
Okay.
about the goddess Inanna, goddess of love, fertility and sex.
Yeah.
Where they used to rejoice at vulvas, worship them, carve them into stone.
Yeah.
And just, you know, honour them as the kind of magical portals that they are, really.
Okay. So the show, in the show...
Yeah.
You played a clitoris.
Yes. I had a just massive one. No, her one.
Her what?
Yeah, I was a massive clitoris.
Right.
Well, actually, it was on my head. And the clitoris actually is a rather large organ.
Yeah.
It's not this tiny little button that you just press and then orgasms happen.
I think you find it is.
What?
No, I think you find you touch it once and then that is the end.
One, two, three.
Start at the beginning, explain clitoris to Ian, where it is, what it is.
So the clitoris is really big and it wraps around the vagina.
Yeah.
So it kind of, when you look at it, a picture or a diagram, it kind of looks like testicles going around the vagina walls.
Right.
And then there's crura that stretch out. It's massive. And
right.
You only see the tiny little tip of the glands, which is the one that has about 8,000 nerve endings.
That's that button that you press it one time and then that is...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know about that one.
And the magic happened.
And so it felt like, anyway, the most delicious revolution to be playing a clitoris. Totally impulsive, unfettered, unfiltered.
Just I feel like Nat should be doing this interview because she's a bit of a twat as well, aren't you? You can
so predictable. Do you know what he literally said earlier? He can't wait to use that. I can't wait to have a guest that I can call saying a cunt earlier or something. And I was like, right, okay, we can't say that. Like, he's itching to say that. You can see.
I didn't say it.
He did say it earlier. He was itching to call me a twat. To use the C word. We've done it now.
You say that as if I wouldn't call you that if she wasn't here.
Well, all kinds of words like floated around the room, of course. And we built the show over 3 years. So we did 5 minute scratch nights, which my husband loved the sound of that. I thought it was very hilarious to go to a scratch night about clitoris. And then we do 10 minutes and half an hour, and then eventually we got the Arts Council funding. We did the full show.
But
although I was this huge, bonkers, quite funny clitoris.
Yeah.
I was also playing her sexual appetite.
Okay.
So her feral impulses. And eventually, by the end of the show, it gets quite dark because she suffocates me.
Okay. So, and what's the start when you're creating something like that?
Yeah.
So, I know. So, was it just written or was it work? You said it was kind of workshops.
Yeah, yeah. For 3 years, so we'd be in a room chatting, improvising.
What is the drive? So what is the...
The drive was, she said, I want to do a show about female sexuality. Would you be my clitoris?
And
obviously I will.
Yeah.
I mean, dream role.
Yeah.
Yes. And so then we get in a room with our director, dramaturg, who's kind of like an editor with a novel or for any written stuff.
Yeah.
And he'd set us improvisations. We'd muck around, free flow. She'd go home and, you know, sculpt it into something that had a pulse and a narrative.
Mm.
And then over those 3 years, the structure got a bit more complex, the writing deepened, we knew each other better. And it's very honest. It's us on the page. It's not fiction.
No, hey, yeah.
And so it was really wonderful to do that.
And it was Arts Council funded, I guess, in part. It wouldn't have been completely Arts Council.
And also supported by the Oval House Theatre in South London, which is an amazing place for new writing, wonderful artistic direction there, and really supporting new emerging artists.
And what are Arts Council provisos for stuff that they give funding to? What would
Do you know what? I don't think I won't give such an educated answer to that. Bella would be brilliant. She looked after all that side of things.
Yeah.
Essentially, I was a creative collaborator, not really on the production side. But I think you have to do a very thorough application. You can't just say, I want money because I think I'm good.
Yeah.
It's really thorough. You have to really sell them the idea of something that you're doing is original, will reach people that may not normally receive the play. Maybe it's a subject that's never been written about.
Mm.
You've proven your worth as an artist, that you have a team that are very creative and successful at what they do. And you have to go through a lot of categories to do that.
Which is both good and bad, I think, for something like... Because I think with Arts Council... I mean, we're not here to talk about the Arts Council, but as a sideline, I think it's an interesting thing with the Arts Council because it is a thorough application thing, as far as I understand it to be.
Yeah.
I've never applied for something like that myself, but... As far as I understand, it's very thorough and all that. But art, by its nature, is sometimes vague. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you're like, well, I can't really explain.
It is vague. And I don't think the Arts Council need you to say, this is what the show is going to be like. Because if you did know everything before you step in the room, it's defunct already. Yeah, where's the like questions and the doubt is where the juice is. However, I think it's really good as a creative and as someone who's learnt to work to deadlines with my writing.
Yeah.
It's really good to actually answer those pragmatic questions.
And even if you don't get the money, it's good for yourself, isn't it?
It's vital. And I think there's a misconception, isn't it? If you say you're artistic or creative, people look at you like, you don't know how to get places on time. You probably aren't going to deliver on time. You know, there's a miscommunication.
Yeah.
Creatives swim in doubt. You have to. That's where all the good stuff is.
Yeah.
But you've got to have the other side as well to go, all right, get it done now.
Yeah.
Answer the question.
Yeah.
Not be scared of not knowing the answer, but chase the answer too.
Yeah. And where's it going now? Because the show
well, now, so Bella's been optioned by Sid Gentle Films, who produced Killing Eve and Fleabag. Yeah, and so she's working with them on her first episode inspired by the play. It's not going to be, as far as I understand, the play on screen, but they're working on the first episode and pitching it at the moment, so they're in that really juicy figuring it out stage.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. So it's not limited to the live performance. It just have a scope to break out beyond that.
What was really lovely is that it wasn't just a show. The second half, or after the interval, we changed the whole set and it was really informal. Lots of cushions and blankets. And the audience came back in.
Oh, I'd hate that.
And, well, I probably would too.
Yeah.
But the way Bella structured it, it wasn't so touchy-feely. And
I don't mind touchy-feely. I just wouldn't. I'd be like, oh, give me a seat.
Some people could sit on seats. We did gauge that.
I would be one of them. Let me sit at a seat at the back, please.
And we had to write things on pieces of paper, people's reactions to the show, and the themes. And it was so lovely because I've never been in a room with a British audience who were all contributing with such intimacy and vulnerability and openness. Mm. I've never been in a room like that.
Okay.
Maybe with my close girlfriends.
Yeah.
Maybe. But this was like 100 people.
And was it happening every night?
Yeah.
Is it always, there were no duff nights with that?
I mean, not
if
everyone.
If there wasn't, make one up. Make one up. Make up a funny story about when it all went wrong.
I could, couldn't I?
Yeah.
I could tell you about the lady who said, she said, I don't know how all you young people are doing this. You're talking about, you know, things.
Yeah.
All the things. I mean, I can't even, I don't, I've never said, I mean, I've literally never said, I mean, I can't actually say, she said.
Yeah, yeah.
Period.
Right.
And the whole audience just started clapping, going, yeah, you said it. And she wasn't in her 20s or 40s. I would say she's like late 50s, early 60s. And she's like, I got all my sex education from Jilly Cooper. Can't believe you're all talking about.
It's terrifying, that, isn't it? And even now, generationally, there are some generations with no sex ed, really.
I mean,
and it's now sex sort of ed the law, like, but it's so specific in how it can be taught, and then different religions have different things. Mm-hmm. You know, they have.
I mean, it's changing. Like, our eldest son did come back in year six, so he was 11, saying, it was so disgusting, I'm not going to talk about it. And then he explained all the things he wouldn't talk about.
Okay, yeah.
And so we did sideways listening.
Yeah, yeah.
About going, And he said, and then it said, it should feel nice. Well, I don't think that's right. I think it should say, it shouldn't hurt. And I said, yeah, but not something that doesn't hurt might still not be nice.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a good thing. And it is nice.
But he makes an interesting point there, though, as well. He also makes a valid point in that. And that's, you know, that's where it's a no doubt in tribute to your parenting as well. That would, you know, the fact a kid would think that way anyway.
And I think it's like linked to shame and pleasure.
Yeah, yeah.
His pleasure is like one step beyond logic and this is what happens. Like enjoying being slightly out of control, slightly like just following your impulses is terrifying. That's all right, but I think we need to have that conversation.
You want to see it? We were talking about it before in the show. Sometimes Nat, right, when I stay at her house, like makes moves on me. Yeah. And yeah. and it's like I was discussing it before because I was saying how aggressive it is.
Okay.
It is.
It's consensual.
It's good to be direct.
No, nobody said it wasn't consensual. What I said was, I think the phrase I used, and I stand by this, it's humorlessly aggressive. Mm. So it's like really, really, and you look how massive she is. She could batter me, and it's like you know, and it's sort of like I mean, I'm relatively strong.
I'm thinking about battering you right now.
She's got,
to be honest,
she can get leverage on me.
I could. I think I could almost get like over this desk to punch.
So even if it wasn't consensual,
yeah.
Then I think it would still happen. With do you know what I mean? That's how she approaches me.
And he's just very lazy.
But it's good though. But
it's like, not lazy.
But well, it's good to like. Why is that aggressive? Mm. That's what I want. Thank now.
She bares her teeth. She bears teeth and she looks in, not into my eyes, into my soul. It's very, very but it's not
See,
like.
See, what are you scared of? Obliteration.
It's not romantic. Nothing romantic about it. She
What's
looks
romantic?
Right into my eyes. And it's like fucking. It's almost like she's going, "I'm gonna fucking kill you."
Right? So you're scared of
that's
dying.
That's how it feels. She doesn't say
it's
that.
About, you're scared of disappearing.
I'm not scared of dying. But I am sometimes scared of the manner of death, and I don't want to die, because she has decided she wants it now. Do you know what I mean? And I'm
just
not.
Just say no then. Oh, so you're gonna stop.
Well, I might do that next time. Next time, I might say no and see if you carry on.
And then we'll both wake up and it'll be like, oh, how's it like a dream on
it? I might see if you carry on next time when I say no.
But what do you think?
And then we'll all reconvene.
But perhaps something that I write about a lot.
Yeah.
Is
that was good. That was fucking. That was.
Oh,
wasn't
you.
That amazing?
No, but it actually is true.
How
it's
did you jump from that back to let's talk about my writing? That, I mean, that was like.
Well, no, the art of surrender.
I wish I had a sting for that.
That'd be good.
Yeah. So this book in August is coming out. Yeah. Tell us about it.
Stay on the.
Yeah, because in my writing, I love to explore and pick apart the art of surrender and our preconceived ideas of it being a passive, weak stance.
Yeah.
I don't always agree with that. And I think especially women do receive a message like, in order to be strong, you have to conquer.
Yeah.
Or sometimes we are encouraged to mirror a masculine, I don't mean male, but masculine, energetic way of expressing power or desire.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes the art of surrender to what you really desire is quite a skill.
I agree, but it's a complex thing, isn't it? Because
totally.
I think now there is a level of second guessing constantly within sexual relationships, and you would be, it's one of them, isn't it, where you could be in a situation where you think you're both on the same page, and indeed you are both on the same page within that moment, and then when that's reappraised at a later date, it can be like, do you know what, I actually felt really uncomfortable then, and that and that is treated as equally valid, and that's a whole different argument if it is or not, but that's you know, that's,
and I think that links to surrendering your brain or your shoulds or the little voices and eyes that you watch yourself with, surrendering to exactly how you feel exactly now.
Mm.
So when that shifts, you can articulate it.
Mm.
And I think that's also in the pool of surrender. Like, what actually is happening to me now?
Yeah, yeah.
How do I surrender what I thought I should be?
Yeah.
Or what I think you want me to be right now? Or what I think I want myself to be? Or... you know, it's in that nebulous place, isn't it?
And I think I'm just scared. I think I'm just scared of her.
Fair enough.
I'm just bored because he doesn't do a lot. He always goes on. He just likes to, because he says he's got weak arms.
Can I just say, by the way, I have never said this.
You've said it on the show.
It's something that Nat... that I said as a joke, and that Nat has misremembered.
He will only go on the bottom. He will
no,
not
I said one day as a throwaway
he's got time
thing.
For that.
I said as a joke, as a throwaway thing. One day I went like my elbows can deal
but
with that. That's
weak.
All. That's all I said.
It kind of
and then since then
though.
She has said he has got really weak arms, and he can't. So I've never said the actual thing there in
I
real
just
life.
Assumed that they do
I've got
look
really,
quite weak.
I've got very strong arms.
Well, get on top then.
No, because it's not just that. It's not just being above on my arms, is it? There's loads more to do than that.
That's
God's
true.
Sake, so boring.
And what she's not telling you as well, here's the thing as well, she's not telling you as well, I push up me. It's not. I don't just lie there. I do some movement.
That's important.
Yeah, of course it is.
It's important. But also,
but
like...
the reason she's been like that is because she doesn't want me to do it. She doesn't want that. She wants to be passive. She wants me... do you know, if I was in a coma, it would be ideal for her. She would love that. She'd love it.
I can't deny that would be true. Yeah, that is true.
But it's interesting, though, what you say, like... it's too
what
vanilla.
I love about this is we're having a serious conversation and a joke conversation at the same time, and
yeah,
it's actually working. I'm happy,
yeah,
I'm happy
well,
with this. I'm happy
well.
With this.
But like, you know, you say like vanilla sex, boring.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of judgment surrounding sex. Loads.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It feel the more I
is it not born of insecurity? Is it not born of insecurity when talking about? Is it not a thing of people? I mean, this is a huge generalisation, but is it not when people talk about sex that they're worried about giving something away about themselves, so they err on the side of safety and talk about things, you know, if I said something, I bet if I could think of a sexual thing now, right, which probably all three of us at some point have done in our life, and I could say it now, and somebody in this room would react to it as, oh, do you know what I mean, as a reaction.
And this is what the play was all about.
Yeah.
But why? Why? Because we learn, and, okay, the play was about female sexuality, but I think generally we are trained quite early on to be very conscious of other people's opinions about our sexuality, yep, or how we express our sexual selves, or how we relate to our sexual selves, mm-hmm, or, you know, even so far as, like, still young girls, like, thinking, well, if I, you know, I actually, ultimately, if I'm a straight woman, I should learn to come with a penis inside me, because that's, like, the ultimate. Mm. That's, like, top.
Don't give her ideas.
But we've had so many conversations building the play.
Yeah.
And one of them was like, I learned to climax. I didn't even know I was orgasming. I said to my friend, you do this thing, right? And he was all wrapped up because I did not want to get pregnant. I didn't want a penis near me. I don't want your sperm. I don't want to worry about all that. I just want to enjoy that feeling. And I was like, and you do this? And then there's like this plasma. That's all like a woo, plasma ball, you know? Right. And my friend just looked at me like, fucking weird. And I received the message that I can't talk about this.
Totally that.
But I carried on. So I was like, it's lush. Why should I stop? There was no, like, breaks in my head. My mum never put the brakes. My dad never put the
brakes. Do you think he genuinely thought it was weird? Or do you think he was covering his own thing? Do you think he was like, oh, is it or isn't it? I'll just say it is.
All I remember, it was my girlfriend, and she, I just remember her expression of, like,
oh, it was a girl. There was a guy you talked about. Right, okay.
It was like, so, I discovered, I was like, did you know that if you do this, right, and, like, his penis is hard and you do that, it feels so nice. She just looked at me like,
what do you have to do? I've got...
How'd you get it hard again?
What's this nice feeling?
Doesn't do that.
I've experienced this nice feeling. Well, how'd you get that?
It's such a privilege that I'd learnt without a penis inside me.
Yeah.
And so then when eventually I did proper sex.
Yeah.
And I apparently, after 2 years of enjoying my very patient, delicious fella, this is what the thing we did. And then when I thought, okay, well, now I should do, like, proper sex, I was like, oh, I don't really. And then I had this for a long time in my 20s, thinking, well, I've graduated to grown-up sex now.
Right.
So let's just forget the plasma. And, like, doing all the things and going, like, I don't, la, la, la. It's exciting hunting. Oh, I think I'll have you. I'll taste you now. That'd be nice.
Right.
And then going, meh. And it wasn't until, like, my 30s and then meeting my husband and actually going, okay. We don't have to do it all in, like, stage one, stage two, stage three.
Yeah.
You know? And then working on this play and, like, being able to say that what I felt about it to a lot of people was amazing. So we need to come at it a different way. See how I did that?
I did, yeah. Mm. I think I'd have liked it, that play, but not the cushions.
Whoa.
Yeah. Everything sounds appealing to me apart from the cushions, and the cushions would literally have stopped me from going.
You could have a seat, though, couldn't you?
I'd have been scared of not getting a seat. It'd have been like, yeah, the cushions get out and some people get a seat. I'd be like, well, unless it can be guaranteed to me.
When Mum and Dad came and saw the show,
and
there was full nudity in the show, and it changed our relationship a great deal, which is lovely, and we baked clitorises, biscuit clitorises.
Nice. Right.
I was like ultimate bonding with my mum and my dad, in fact.
How's that for full nudity stuff?
Yeah.
In a live environment?
Yeah.
I always think that's very different to be like full nudity on film. Mm. How's that in a live environment?
Well, what made this nudity different is that we...
So you kept all your clothes on.
We're all naked, just we got clothes on. We didn't do it in a sexualized way. I didn't get naked because I was trying to have sex or I wanted to be desirable or I was desiring something from someone. I got naked because I was suffocating and I couldn't bear it anymore.
I see, okay.
And I was raging like a lion.
Yeah.
And then she also got naked again without... There's no titillation. It was just freedom.
Yeah.
And people found it really moving. And actually, the climax of the show was us saying...
Bear me. Are you Googling her nude?
No. She's doing an update. No, I'm not Googling her something at a time.
Just no, a sec- the second Sarah started talking, yeah, I got the kit off, and you were straight on your phone.
No.
Sorry,
well,
Sarah.
What people seem to really enjoy was seeing a real, non-airbrushed, all my cellulite on show, my crinkly belly after two kids. Not every mum's belly does it. Mine does. My boobs that don't defy gravity and not smooth.
See how brilliantly I'm making eye contact with you at the moment? even though you're pointing at all your bits, I'm keeping because I know that's the correct grown-up thing to do. And even though you're actually pointing, yeah, I'm still making
I
eye
have
contact.
Boobs,
I'm not looking.
Pubes, cellulite,
I refuse to look.
Hair, all hairy, and
I've not.
And that's what people seem to really enjoy.
Yeah.
And say like and being naked long enough that it wasn't awkward, that you would stop looking me in the eye and you would just check everything out and be like, yes, and what?
Only if I was on a cushion. That is the one, that's the proviso of the cushions. I would go on a cushion if it meant I could have a sneaky look at one point. No, I hear you. I'm increasing, the older and older I get, and I don't know where this is going to end, but the older I get in my attitude to appearance and my attitude to how, you know, like, just things like weight and stuff like that. Obviously, I'm a big bloke and all that, and it's like, I honestly couldn't give two fucks about it anymore, in either myself or a partner. I really couldn't give a fuck either way. And I don't think I ever did. So I never had a type, for example.
Me neither.
You know, it wouldn't be like, oh, what sort of, oh, do you like big boobs? I was like, I don't know.
I saw a clip on Gogglebox the other day of that show, Naked, what do you call it?
Mm-hmm. Attraction.
Yeah, so where the screens come up and people choose who they might want to have a date with based on their genitals and then based on their torso.
How's that not banned? How's that a programme?
It's very popular.
That doesn't make it all right. So is Jordan. It doesn't, like, it's not... No, that doesn't make it all right, though. That's, like, that's a horrible... We talk about this in next week's show. That is a horrible thing to put across to an audience that you can't see.
Right.
But I also appreciate that it probably goes the other way a lot of the time in that show, I dare say. I've got no idea. I've never seen it.
No, I think, like, it's one person, and then the presenter, like, is very proud of the fact that she's bi.
Right.
As if... So that makes it okay.
Right.
And,
you're saying being bi isn't okay?
No, at all.
You got to be really careful.
No, not at
all. I know you weren't.
But like saying, because I'm bisexual means I'm more free sexually and I understand both bodies. And then the people just literally talk in depth about the genitals. But wow. One of my husband's colleagues at the moment was saying that, you know, he goes on Grindr and he's saying people ask girth, length, shape of penises before... And it's like, well, no. So on the one hand, like, we're really moving away from, it's our shell, it's our facility, are you healthy, can you do what you need to do, fine, enjoy your body.
Mm.
On the other hand, Tinder, Grindr, like, literally,
Appearance. It's all appearance, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, but then you stay at the shell of yourself,
too. Don't stare at my boobs. Sorry, I said, look right at them then, right at my pecs. Stared right at them. I'm appalled by this guest. No, I hear you, though.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I absolutely do.
If you stay on the surface of someone else, that's how you're also operating yourself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not that you always have to be that earnest and, like, share everything. But do you want to connect or not? Or are you going to froth around?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've been at the allotment too long today.
No, you're fine.
I'm getting all sort of...
We could talk about it for ages, but I've got two more guests on.
Oh.
But it's honestly been lovely chatting with you.
Yeah, you too.
All the best with stuff, and all the best in your book and all that sort of thing.
Thanks
so much. And keep that portfolio career. That's great that you do that, and you have all them different strings to your bow.
Thank you. It's fun.
Even that sounded rude, didn't it? Strings to your bow, and it doesn't mean anything. That didn't mean anything at all. Right, I didn't have a song queued up because I was too busy not looking at your boobs. What do you want on that? Is that bloke coming on next?
He's coming on right now to make it a short song.
Well,
no, this is his song.
Depends how long he sings for.
Yeah, they can't hold us back. We on another level. Yeah, it's that new age. Ain't it something special? Yeah. Change the game, we gon' live forever. Yeah, it's that new age, it's that new age. This is the new age. Now they wanna play, cause they tryna get paid, but they can't, cause they're too late.
We got stacks already making it rain. They can't afford us now. Jump on a jet switching borders now. Wrote me off when I was 17. Fast forward, they're my employees now. Welcome to the fucking future. This that life that I'm getting used to. I do whatever I choose to. Fake friends I will never lose to. I am bound to a briefcase. I'm on the run, that's a speed chase. New living, it's that new phase. Already begun, it's that new age. Yeah. They can't hold us back, we on another level. Yeah. It's that new age, ain't it something special? Yeah. We gon' change the game, we gon' live forever. Yeah. It's that new age, it's that new age.
Fuck you. Big boy with that big broom. Big boy, how I come through. Big boy with that brand new, cause I'm killing it. Going baloney, my rollie so holy. Trophy, I go, we go stone in my bowly. Towing my homie, no phony to show me. I am a legend, Broly. You're looking timorous. Don't get close to the star like you're Icarus. I'm impulsive with shit that I'm dealing with. I go fucking berserk when I'm hearing this.
You, hey.
I'm so canny with the flow. Making money on the go. Girls around me, one of three. Two girls licking on the D. I'm the one to really be. This is a madness. This is a madness. I'm kicking the door off the hinge. This is the new age and I am the pioneer. See them bracing with that riot gear. Motherfucker, I'm over this. I'm here making the moves to take over this. I dream Bailey, don't care if you're polar this. I'm no Milli Vanilli, I'm pretty when he was the king of his city. Not here to be pretty, no. Man, know wherever this nigga go. Change up the mood with my aura glow. Bust up the shield, the Wakanda switch. Marvel moves on the LA bitch. See no passing, CDM. New age dawn, know that I'm never gone. Know that I'm never gone.
KSI and Randolph. Randolph?
Randolph.
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 Look, that's a bad intro, isn't it? That's a terrible
just
intro.
Just one
look, can you hear him? He's shouting. He's furious. Are you there, KSI?
Yo, what's up?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Where's Rebecca?
She's outside.
Why do you want to talk to her?
No, she's got a really nice voice. I like her.
All right, let's bring her in.
Australian.
Rebecca, can you come in, please? If that's all right with you. I'll bring Rebecca in because Rebecca works in the gallery bit. But I'll bring her in now. Okay, hang on. Rebecca's
she's
coming on the phone
mic
now.
Too. There she is. There we go. Pop the headphones on, Rebecca.
There you go. Rebecca's here now. It's fine.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Case. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to hear your voice again.
It's been a while.
Well, yeah, it's been a while. Thank you. I'm honoured, KSI.
KSI, hi, it's Ian here, it's my show. Do you want me to... I don't mind. Do you want Rebecca to interview you instead?
No. I don't want to do that to you, bro.
No, I'll help. I'll feed her questions, and then if she upsets you, it'll be her fault.
Oh, okay, then, yeah. All right, let's do it then.
Okay, go for it.
So, Logan Paul, how do you feel about Logan Paul?
Fuck him.
Fuck him?
Yeah, fuck him. I can't wait to... Well, I mean, I had a little bit of a Twitter rant yesterday because...
Yes, I saw that.
I was wondering, like, what's going on, like, with the whole fight. Because whenever the fight was in the UK, it got done. Like, shit got sorted. But now it's in America. Like, it's all just slowed down and it's just... It's boring me. It's pissing me off, so...
Hi, KSI. It's Ian here again. It's my show. just very quickly, what's the backstory with Logan Paul?
Oh, you know the YouTuber.
I'll let KSI do this.
So pretty much after I beat Joe Weller, I called out Logan Paul to fight.
He's a YouTuber as well. Okay. In America.
He's also a YouTuber, and we had a bit of back and forth, and then we decided to fight each other.
And a lot of people viewed that fight, didn't they? Over, like, 5 million, was that? Or?
Well, in total, it's, like, over 15 million
at
the moment.
I thought you were a rapper.
He does it all.
That's free views. Well, mm-hmm. Paid views, it was over a mil.
Wow.
So, wait. Yeah. So, let me get it straight. Sorry. Hi, it's Ian here, my show. why are you having fights with people?
Well, I mean, obviously, I got to show that I'm the best... boxing YouTuber on YouTube. So it's kind of like, you know...
Can I become a boxing radio presenter?
Yeah, please.
Can I fight people?
I mean, you definitely should. Like, there's definitely a gap in the market there.
I would love to see that happen.
Is it just primarily a financial thing?
No, Logan Paul was being a little bit mouthy, wasn't he, KSI, to you? So then I guess you guys just made the decision to get paid and fight each other, I guess. But you were a draw, weren't you?
Yeah, so it ended in the draw, which was a bit annoying. But
are you going to fight him again?
Sorry?
Are you going to fight him again?
Well, that is
that's
the
rumors.
In America, yeah. It's on him. He needs to sort it out, so...
Hang on a minute.
Okay.
Hi, KSI, it's Ian here. Just quickly, so which one of these gentlemen on here is KSI? I'm asking someone in the studio.
Bandana.
On the left?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Can I point out, they did train for this boxer.
Okay, no, wait, so I've just had an idea.
Oh, okay, you
want to
fight KSI?
Pretty much, KSI is the black one.
Oh, yeah, there you are. Right, okay, so you look relatively well built. I can't take, you've got like loads of clothes on and stuff, so I can't tell if you're ripped or anything. I'm also...
He's not ripped.
Well, I'm kind of ripped. I'm like ripped in the same way as the other bloke is, as Randolph. I look a bit like Randolph a little bit. Right?
Yeah, I'm ripped right now.
Right, so here's the thing, right?
Since the fight, I lost a lot of weight where JJ put it on. I gave him my weight.
Is that him there now as well? Was that Randolph then?
Yeah, it's both Kendall and Randolph. We've got the guys that are on tour at the moment.
God, this is hard work, isn't it?
If you're saying that you want to fight with KSI...
what I'm saying is I don't want to fight.
Oh,
but
okay,
I want to set something up as if we are going to have a fight.
Do it.
And then we won't have the fight. That's very important, though, that we don't have the fight.
We cannot have the fight on the 20th of June, which is this week, right, in Brixton. Hop down and not fight KSI.
So what's happening? What is happening in Brixton?
So we got a show. We got like our, London show on the Thursday, 20th of June.
Right.
That's what we're preparing for right now. We're in rehearsals, so just warming up for that, really.
And what happens in that? Is that all singing and rapping, or is that a bit of fighting and all chucked in for good fun?
I mean, we might fight in the middle of our set, but it's not planned. If it is, it's just because JJ's pissing me off.
Will you please do that? Will you please do? Apropos of nothing. Just halfway through the show, one of you walk up to the other one and just punch them square in the face and just see what happens. Then just let it play out.
I mean, if you punch me, nothing would happen, though.
You can fake it, though. You're good at that.
I'd just be like, did a fly hit me? Or I don't know.
Look at this. I reckon if I keep pushing their buttons in the right way, they'll start fighting each other right now.
Mm.
That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
they've got loads of Twitter followers and stuff. That'd be a proper big scandal.
Well, they're not on stage. What is it? The same. They're not on stage tonight, so they could have a few days to sort out injuries.
Yeah,
you could recover from this.
Won't be happy unless one of them's lost a tooth by the end of this interview. I don't know who any of these people are. I don't know. Oh no, is Logan Paul the dude who was all hounded off Twitter, YouTube because of
they found a body. The body, and then he posted a video.
That's
about
that dude, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we always wanted KSI.
I heard about that.
He has a brother called Jake Paul,
right.
And they're not very. Would you, KSI? Would you say they're liked in America or very disliked?
I don't know. I guess they're kind of half and half. There's pretty much if you're over the age of 7, then you hate them, and if you're under the age, you love them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So could you confidently say right now that you do not like the Paul brothers? Is this an exclusive at FUBAR?
I definitely do not like the Pauls.
Right. Well, even though I hear it, and I hear you've got history and stuff, and I hear that you're upset, I can hear it in your voice that you're upset. Right. What could I do as someone who doesn't gorge myself on this horrible YouTube spatting backwards and forwards and that? I mean, I don't know why you can't all be friends. What would have to happen for you and what's he called, RuPaul, whatever he's called,
Logan
Paul?
What would happen
RuPaul.
For you to make friends again and to be all good friends in the end, and then have a nice handshake, and maybe you can come on and sing a song on one of your pop songs? Then what would need to happen to do that?
I guess I'd need to knock him out.
What's with all? Why are you so aggressive? Why is that? Why? You don't have to knock him out. Why?
It's my destiny to knock him out.
Mm. Can't you just do it with words and witticisms and bit of Oscar Wilde business? You don't have to punch him.
We've already done that. It's time to get in the ring and do what is necessary.
I think it's a shame that.
If anything, it's entertaining for everyone else.
Yeah, I'd say if you're a bank manager, but I think it's a shame that is what it has come to. I think I don't know if you recall, you're probably just a little child when it happened, but the pop star Robbie Williams and Liam Gallagher they were going to have a fight
they
at
were,
one point.
They, yeah.
The Brits, Robbie Williams, said, I'll have a fight with you and all that, and Liam Gallagher said no. And I thought Liam Gallagher was the bigger man for that.
That's boring.
So what I think is, I think the best way of dealing with the situation is forgive me, KSI, I think you should rise above it, is what I think you should do.
No chance, mate.
Why? What would be the damage if you didn't actually have the fight?
What?
Is it the difference between a house and not a house?
No, it's because we've had the fight and it ended in a draw.
And they need to redo the fight to redeem humans. I kind of get that.
Right, let's... call me cynical, yeah. Right? Right, call me cynical about this. No fight ends in a draw ever. A fight only ends in a draw if it's stopped.
Also, if I knock him out, like, we don't have to hear his terrible music as well.
Right, okay. I think this is all about double bubble, innit? It's a draw. Ergo, another fight. There we go again.
Well, you think there's going to be another draw?
No, fuck. I could see you having draws.
I think KSI could win. KSI, I think you could win between...
What do you really think?
With Logan Paul, I think you could. If you fight him again this year, I think you could win. Whoa, I'm not condoning violence.
Why do you keep saying think?
I know.
Because you only managed to draw last time, you big baby. Why could you not fight him properly if you're so hard?
What?
Why was it a draw? Should have knocked him out, mate. Come on.
Well, I mean,
You wanted a draw because you know that you could get money for another fight. That's what it is.
You know what brings people together? Music. And you are on tour, KSI, so let's talk about your lovely tour.
You can do it. You can charge me. No, come on, it's your show.
Oh.
I've handed your dates over.
Okay. We dropped them on the floor.
Tell us about your tour, KSI, while I pick up the piece of paper.
KSI's got to get off the phone now, so can you...
He can go whenever he wants.
He's got to now. So let's just tour dates.
So pretty much we are coming on tour. We've got a show this Thursday in London, Brixton, and then we've got another show in Nottingham the day after, and then Dublin on Sunday. And pretty much after that, we're going to the Scandinavian countries.
Well, they're all
just touring around there.
They're on the website as well, on the newagetour.com. All the dates are there. What I would like you to do, it's been lovely chatting with you. Thank you for your time, both of you. And it's been lovely chatting with you. But what I will say, though, after this, if you have time between this and your next press junket, just have a minute, have a moment, and just ask yourself, is violence the answer? Right? That's all I ask. As long as you consider it, if you come up with the same result, absolutely fine. All I ask is that you do consider it, though.
All right, consider it.
Right, and don't rule out fighting me as well. I'll get some of that dollar. Cheers for joining us. Thanks, KSI.
Yeah.
Bye.
Amanda.
Yeah, and you. God, I can never keep him off the phone, can you?
Counting down his days, but living large from the your day. Old teeth, no trousers, old work, no play. No satisfaction, but you'll have your day.
Listen to FUBAR Playdia Radio, which is of course home of the Double Play. I can't remember what that song was just then because I don't think I actually read it. But of course, the second part of the Double Play is always the Pretty Reckless with "Make Me Want to Die." Thank you. Then shout at the end of that song.
What did he say? Chico
shouted, "Hey!"
Oh,
typical Chico. We found the Tim Curry.
We did
Skyping things. Where you can Skype Tim Curry. It starts at $99, what's about 70 quid?
Bargain.
75 quid.
Mm-hmm.
Was on sale from $199. Bronze package for $99. You get a personal online one-on-one video meet and greet experience with Tim Curry. Downloadable HD video recording of your experience. Tickets to Ask Tim online event. Watch as Tim answers. His favourite questions submitted by fans.
Yep.
Deep reveals from Tim's personal life and films never before released to the public. So that was that, like sex tapes or
what was that? I was thinking that. Is that a few porn films? I don't know. Like
silver package, $200 you get this. Silver fan, same as the silver one. Oh no, sorry. Gives you everything including the bronze package. Plus Tim's autograph on an exclusive
That's
8x10.
Nice. That's nice.
That's $100 for an autograph, though.
Tim Curry.
That said, I was bidding on a Tim Curry autograph on eBay the other day.
And you lost, obviously.
I did lose because it went up to like over 100 quid. It was a signed Rocky Horror Programme from the original show.
Wow, okay.
And it was like 16 quid for ages, and then at the very end it zoomed up.
Yeah.
Sniper bids. Gold package with Tim Curry. It's $300, $299.99, same thing. You get everything, obviously, from the previous one. You also receive additional collectible merchandise only available on FanMeo for this limited time event. And then there's the ultimate package where you get everything, but you get not one but two Tim Curry autographs with one unassigned and very limited number collectible lithograph.
Okay.
What do you reckon?
If you're going to do it, go for the ultimate package.
Do you reckon?
Go big or go home.
$400.
You get two autographs by him.
And also, I guess it would be like, so there's a weird snobbery about this sort of thing, and I would also be party to that in certain situations. Like, for example, if I've got a spare afternoon, which I rarely do, but if I do have, I am more than happy to sit down with that celeb voice messages website and just go through them and watch them and just laugh.
Oh yes,
where people like charge like 20 quid or whatever to, you know, to
personalised message.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got one of those for someone once, didn't you?
Barry got Derek Okora a couple of times on there for the Parapod.
Which was nice.
Yeah, it was good. We used it on the Parapod. You know, it was good. It worked well. But we noticed, because I think Barry bought two of them, and then the next time he went on to buy one, it had gone up by a tenner.
Oh, no, it was crazy. Barry didn't get that, did he?
Like Okora had gone, fuck, it's shit hot, this business. Like two in the last 2 weeks.
Where's this thing? I wanted to ask you... his favourite.
Do you know that I was asked to do that when it first launched?
The voicemail
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, because I knew a girl who was friends with somebody who'd set it up. And she said, oh, they said they'd be very interested in having you on there. And I went, are you fucking shitting me?
I think it'd be hilarious.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. People contact...
I will never charge for an autograph and I will never charge for a message.
Right.
If I've got time to do it, I will do it.
Okay.
If I ain't got time, I won't make time by you paying for it.
Well, that's nice. That's honourable. But on this website...
I don't need to be honourable. I just think it's a really weird way of being.
I know we've talked about it before. So did they just off the cuff, like, riff the message, or do you script it for them?
Like, some of them, right? Again, spend an afternoon on there.
Yeah.
Some of them are shockingly bad.
Oh, so it's the same one for everyone?
No, they do. But they do one. I think Biggins is on there. And his was nice. I remember it, but he's consummate pro, isn't he?
Of course he is.
But there's other people on there who are like... I don't know. I just... I'm just biting my tongue.
Okay.
Because I forgot it's a live show, so I just don't want to say something that we can't cut out.
Hold that.
But you know what I mean? There are people on there, you're like... the other way of looking at it, though, Nat, is... So, Tim Curry is an example.
Yeah.
I presume Tim Curry doesn't get as much acting work nowadays as he used to get.
Sure.
Because he is limited by his physical situation, right?
Yeah.
That's not necessarily fair, but I'm sure that is what's happened. I'm sure, you know, he's less likely to do stuff. Or even voice work, because his voice is more limited than it used to be.
Yeah.
So I imagine those things do affect his income. I presume that. So I have no issue with someone like Tim Curry, who's had a lifetime of service to the arts and a life, you know, been in some huge roles and pivotal and, you know, you know, epic roles that he's played. Very interesting man. You know what I mean? There's a lot going on with Tim Curry.
Yeah, of course.
As an iconic figure.
He is definitely an iconic figure.
Whilst also being a jobbing actor at the end of the day, and someone who was just very, very solid and dependable in every role that he played. So he did stuff that wasn't iconic, but he appeared to approach it with the same verve and vigour that he did the big roles, you know, or the iconic roles. And his voice works fantastic, and his audio books that he did before, he did the Lemony Snicket books, he did most of those.
Okay.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
So if he's now at a stage now where his work isn't as ubiquitous as it once was because of illness, I've no problem with him charging 400 notes to...
Because
to have a chat with someone on the internet.
I'm just here. He says he reveals his favourite questions submitted by fans. So he tells you what his favourite questions ever been asked are, right?
Right. I don't know.
What would you ask Tim Curry? One question.
I wouldn't be able to come up with one.
Really?
I really wouldn't. And I wouldn't do that because it would feel... It's like going to a prostitute. It would just be a whole different experience.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't be meeting them and having a chat with them. Okay. It's a financial transaction.
Yeah.
So something immediately falls away because of that, where it's like, well, we wouldn't be chatting on Skype now if I hadn't given you $400.
That is
Do you know
true.
What I mean?
But maybe you chat on Skype, you'll go, bloody hell, he's really good, isn't he? I'll chat to him more off Skype for $0.
And then the company would go, you're fucking not.
It's true, yeah, it's true.
That's what would happen. True, Fan Mia would go, you're absolutely not.
Yeah,
we're not giving
true.
You his number. You are
that's
not doing
true.
That.
Oh, there'd be no way for it to work. Oh,
so
it's a shame because I think it would really work out with the two of you. But
me and Tim Curry
are keeping you apart.
I don't know that we'd get on. Somebody once told me he was difficult.
And you're really easy.
Yeah, I'm kind of more laid back.
I think you'll get on really well.
Yeah, no, somebody who worked with him once told me that he was a hard worker. But again, that's reported. That might not be true at all.
Okay.
But that's what somebody once said to me. Isn't it weird how something like that can influence how you feel about someone?
Yeah.
If somebody tells you they're difficult, you go, oh, they must be.
But no, but that's your preconception. Because like, I've met people who I've been told are difficult and are really nice, and then people who've been told are really nice and being difficult. No, it's a live show, I'm not saying a word.
You can say who the ones who you're told difficult, but then they weren't. Not the other ones. Don't say the ones that were difficult.
No, I don't want to say anyone.
I'm all in favour of saying the ones that were difficult, by the way. Mm. I'll happily name people who've been in this studio who've been difficult.
No, I'd rather you didn't.
What?
We've not really had difficult people in here.
We've had a few.
I'm trying to think of somebody. I can't think of anybody.
Oh, we've had a few.
Well, we've got to get our next guest on, so play a song whilst we discuss the difficult people and see if I agree.
Should we ring Tim Curry up? Can we get that out of petty cash?
If I had... Yeah, sure.
I would like his autograph. I would like that.
We can't just get that.
I would genuinely like
Tim
Curry's autograph.
What's in the basic package? Just go back. So what? It starts at 99.
Yeah. You don't get an autograph for that, though.
Well, I think you should. I think you should do for that.
Well, write to him and tell him. Say, can I pay the 99 and just get his autograph?
Do you know what I would do for the 99 one? Give an autograph. Don't show the films never released to the public in the 99 package.
Yeah, not by the right sex tapes.
Bump that up to the prime package, the ultimate package.
Yeah.
I think I need to speak to Famio and sort this around for them.
Well, it seems to me that Famio exactly know what they're doing because they know that people would... That's the thing they would want the most is an autograph.
Do you think even more than an unreleased film?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, okay.
I think people would want the actual chat that they have with Tim Curry online.
Right, right, right.
But I think after that, you would want some sort of memento of that isn't just that. You know, something you put on your wall and stuff.
Mm, that's true.
I'd like a Tim Curry autograph thing. It's got a nice autograph, Tim Curry.
Is it?
I don't know if it's... Now, would it have changed now? Will his autograph change? Because, again, his mobility is... Not mobility. Dexterity would be slightly influenced, I'd imagine.
So you want a current autograph?
He had a very sharp autograph. Ooh. Very, very well-written autograph.
Yeah.
You know, none of these swirly lines and that. Mine's a tip. You can't even see my name in mine. I've not set a song up.
Put anyone on?
Other than Slipknot.
Put Slipknot on, that's nice.
All right. I felt the rise up in me. Live down and clear the stone of leaves. I wander out where you can see. Inside my shell I wait and breathe. I felt the air rise up in me. Live down and clear the stone of leaves. Inside my shell, I wait and breathe. Go far, I'm loving up all the time. The night is bright out this time. Everything is 3D fast for me. My eyes are ready to go. The air is standing straight up. This is not the way I picture me. I can't control my shakes. How the hell did I get here? Something about this, something wrong. We have to live out loud. I wish I didn't like this. Is it a dream? I remember right. I felt the air rise up in me. got a headache.
That's Slipknot.
That has given me a headache. I've no issues with Slipknot as a band. I don't know much about them at all, but that has given me an headache now.
Okay, that's Slipknot that just did Download Festival over here. Did well, apparently.
Has Download happened?
Just happened this weekend.
Has it? Mm. I used to do that every year, you know. I used to gig at Download every year.
Okay, good festival.
I always quite liked it. It was a comedy gig. It was all right. It was a bit rowdy, but it was fun. Fun, rowdy. But it was financial piss take.
Well, there we go.
I don't know if that was just the promoter or not. It could have been the promoter because it's a private promoter. Could have been taking the piss. But I've got a headache now, and I've got to speak to Chris DiStefano on the phone.
Yeah.
Chris, are you there?
Yes.
Chris, don't shout, Chris, because
I'm here. I love that.
I've just told you I've got a headache.
The song.
You love it?
Loved it.
Yeah.
What bit?
I mean, it was a lot, but you know what, man? I go with it, dude. Yeah, I was banging my head off my car window.
You're not driving while you're talking to us, are you?
I am, but I'm on Bluetooth. I'm not breaking any laws. I'm doing something that's completely legal in the United States. I'm just talking on the Bluetooth.
Yeah, that's right. Also over here it would be legal as well. Where are you venturing to, please?
I'm driving on the FDR Drive right now, New York City. I got Brooklyn to my left.
On the freeway.
I'm on the highway driving back to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I just sold. Me and my kid's mom, we split up about 2 years ago, and I just sold the engagement ring. I just got $9,000 in cash, baby. I got it in rubber bands, and I'm putting it in my duffel bag, and I'm bringing it to the UK.
I genuinely thought you were going to tell us you'd sold your kids then, at that point, when you said, I've just sold, and my heart stopped. So you've sold the engagement ring, $9,000.
I got $9,000, which is not bad.
Okay, I apologize.
I have a brick of cash right now in my car, so
nice.
I'm going to go deposit it.
Hey, Chris, are you, and you can tell me it's none of my business if you like, but are you pretty solvent? Are you financially all right with your career at the moment?
Yeah, financially I'm good, man. You know, I just bought my first apartment in New York, so,
nice.
You know, that's a good sign. It's expensive out here, but, yeah, man, I'm doing well. I mean, I have ultimately no fans in the UK, as there's I need help with the ticket sales.
Okay.
Thank you for having me on.
We can do that.
But in the United States, I'm doing pretty all right.
Good, okay. So in that, I'll tell you what would be a good bit of publicity. How about this? Right, have you got $9,000 in cash right now?
Yes.
Just unpack it and chuck it out the window.
Just... No, dude, I...
No?
Well, listen...
You were showing off about how much money you had. So...
Well, no, I got... The thing is, I would throw it out the window, but I do have to pay a lot of child support, so this is all right to the child support.
But don't you only have to pay child support in direct correlation with what your income is? So if you decide now... To just go along the sidewalk, right, and just give it out to people less fortunate than you. Mm. Just some of it, just like just one $1,000 of it. Just do that. We could do it on the air. We could do it live. You could give away $1,000 just randomly. You're not telling me that wouldn't be front page of Chortle over here. Definitely.
That's
would.
So true. Listen, if I wasn't driving right now, I would 1,000%. I'd take 500 right now, and I'd give it to a homeless guy for sure.
Right, so hang on a second. So because you're driving, you're not going to do that?
Well, if I wasn't driving, I would do it.
Right, okay.
I'll tell you this. But it has to be right now, does it?
It has to be right now. So when you stop driving, that deal isn't on anymore.
No, when I stop driving, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to video it, and I'm going to send it to you.
Right.
Football Radio, baby.
Please,
well, I think that is an... Do you know what? I think you should do that anyway. If you can afford to do it, I think you should do it. Only if you can afford it. I think you should do that. I think that's
no, dude. You know what I do? I always do that. My mom taught me. I never really give... Because you don't know in New York, like, what the homeless... If you give them money, like, what they're going to do with it. But I'm always buying food and water for as many homeless people as...
Yeah,
every day I do that. I would say almost every day I do that. And that's my mom led by example. That's what she used to do. Anytime I was with her, she'd buy them bagels and waters and give them food and drink. So well, I do that almost every day.
Do you know what? I think all pissing about aside, I think that I genuinely think that is that's obviously very commendable. But also, as you should, and you know, as everybody should, really. And also, there's an element of it as well, isn't there? Where you're like even when you said, then I don't know what they do with it, so I buy
because
them food
the
and water.
Like,
it doesn't matter what they do with it. Fuck it. Like, they can let them have it.
Look, man. If $500, I'm not going to go buy food with it. I'm going to buy heroin and shoot it right into my ass. That's just what it is.
Yeah. Let him have a bit of heroin if you want, though.
If you haven't
got an house.
I get it, so I'll just buy food.
Okay. Well, yeah. It's a shame you're driving, isn't it? It's a shame that you're conveniently driving at the moment.
I can't hear any other
cars, though. Well, I know, man.
Yeah.
Are you sure you're driving?
That's why I said throw it out the window.
I know, I am driving. Right now I'm looking at the beautiful Brooklyn Bridge, the iconic Brooklyn Bridge.
Yep, just by the Big Apple, that, innit?
As iconic as your bridges. Yep. I freaking love London. I can't wait to get there.
Where are you on at in London? Do you know?
Huh?
Which venue are you at in London?
The Soho Theatre.
It's at the Soho, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. How many nights
are
you?
Two
nights.
June 24th,
nice.
June 25th, next Monday and Tuesday.
So have you never gigged over here before?
I've went over there a couple of times. I've done the stand
in
Scotland. I've done that. And then in London, I've popped over there. I did the V Festival in like 2012.
Right. Okay.
But I really don't have a fan base there at all. So that's what this trip is about, trying to get, you know, more in the UK because I love it so much.
I would imagine that you would perhaps be surprised by a fan. Like, I think generally speaking, what happens if somebody is a well-known comedian somewhere in the world, that generally speaking, though, particularly in London and probably Edinburgh as well, and maybe Manchester a little bit, there would be enough people for a gig to happen, you know, who would know of you, who would see it as like a big deal that you were coming over, even if it felt like you weren't, you know, you didn't have any fans as such in the UK. I bet you have.
I have, yeah. No, I've certainly gotten a lot of messages from fans of mine saying they're going to come see me at the Soho, but I just, like in America, I could sell a little bit more tickets than I can in the UK, but I'm still, like, I still definitely have some fans there, for sure. You know, podcasting and social media, all that stuff is, you know, international.
Yeah, the world has shrunk, hasn't it? Like, the world is minute now.
It's a little baby world.
Yeah.
It's a little cute baby world.
Yeah. And you're going to give all your money away, remember? So that would have been another good thing. You could have said that. You could have said, for those 2 dates, 24th and 25th, you could have said, then please don't say this, but you could have said, I've got £9,000 from an engagement ring that I don't need anymore. I'm going to give $1,000. I'm going to give $1,000 away to one lucky punter on each of those nights.
That's true. You know what? That's what I am going to do. And it's going to be even more money. Isn't the pound worth more money than the US dollar?
Yep.
I'm getting $2,000 away. Fuck it.
Right, brilliant. That's exactly it, because that's how you redistribute wealth. And then you can say during the show, you can say, look, I was going to give this to somebody homeless, but I've decided to give it to somebody in the audience. And then that way, that person in the audience should, God willing, then go, well, I'm going to give it to the homeless myself. I'm going to, you know, courier that.
Yeah.
But they're not obliged to do that. But hopefully that would be a nice way of doing it. And you can't buy that sort of PR, mate. Your PR would have cost more money than that. To just, you
100%,
know.
100%.
That'll get
people. Dude, you just made me change my whole philosophy in life. I appreciate that. You know what? I am going to throw this money out the window right now.
But no, not yet, because you got to give it away to the audience. Don't forget you got to give it to the audience.
£2,000.
All right, fine. Thank God, because I have the window wide open. Right. All right, fine.
You want to keep two back for each night, so you want to keep four back, and then you can chuck three out the window. I would personally prefer it. It's your money, you can do what you want with it, but I would prefer it if when you get to your destination and you are by a sidewalk where people will be having a sandwich, but it's big, not just a little one like they have over here. These are all my American references. That you would then perhaps give it to someone, or don't give it all in one go to someone. You can if you want to, but...
How about this? Do you live in London?
No,
do you live in London?
I do not, no. No,
I do. I was going to say, because if you lived in London, I would come and I would give you $500 if you came to the show.
Okay, yeah. Well, my producer has just put her hand up and she said she would like $500, please.
It's my birthday, so $1,000 would be better for me. I'm not going to lie, Chris, on the 24th.
That's true.
Then come to the show with five friends and I'm going to give you guys $500.
Oh, right.
Right, now, here's the problem that I've got. It's my birthday on the 27th of June, which you're not doing a show on that day.
Well, I am, but I'll be in Newcastle at the stand in Newcastle on the 27th.
Oh, mate, that's a gorgeous venue. You'll have the time of your life. Have you done that venue before?
No, are you going to come to the Newcastle?
It's not.
What are you doing for your birthday?
It's not near me. Do you know what? I'll tell you what I'm doing for my birthday. Right, genuinely.
Do you want US money or not?
Well, yeah, I want it. I do want it. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not, like, turning my nose about it. But if you remember, we started this conversation, you were going to give it to the homeless. So I would feel a bit bad if you gave it to me rather than the homeless. And I would feel obliged to give it to the homeless.
All right, fine. So I'll give the money to the homeless and I'll buy you a bagel and some water.
Perfect. So, but the Stan Newcastle, I will put my neck on the line and say to you, I bet you it's the best gig of your tour.
I would agree.
Anything. It's brilliant.
I did the stand in Glasgow and the one in Edinburgh, and they were fantastic. So I would imagine Newcastle's just the same.
I'm just going to stop you there. It's Glasgow and Edinburgh. It's not Glasgow and Edinburgh.
I'm sorry. See, this is why we elected Donald Trump, because he's stupid.
I just feel like, basically, I spent many Edinburgh festivals and Edinburgh fringes when I was doing shows there, listening to American, sometimes Canadian comics as well, coming over and saying Edinburgh, and I've not heard Glasgow before.
Thank you for including Canadians. I appreciate that, because it's like, you know, we are the ones, the Americans get the bad rap, so we don't know how to pronounce shit, but neither do the Canadians.
Yep.
So I appreciate you including them, those friendly fucks.
Yeah. So let's try. So what we're doing on this conversation so far is we are redistributing wealth, and we are also trying to essentially spark an international incident.
If Canada wants to step up, let them step up. Let's see how they do against the United States.
Yep. Okay. Good. So you're calling them out directly.
Directly.
Yeah.
I'm calling those friendly fucks out directly.
I presume you'd be willing as well to put some of all this great wealth that you've got in your back pocket at the moment. You'd probably put some of that towards the war 100%. The war effort against Canada.
Yes. I'll give Canada another $1,000 if they want to step up.
Now, what I would like, Chris, because I'm very much enjoying your company, what I would like very much is I would like you, for your own well-being, to keep an eye on how many grand you're giving away here, because I think so far you might have gone past that nine.
Five. I think I count five and a half.
I think it's more than that.
I know. Now it's getting lower and lower. I was all set to take my daughter on a big trip, but now we're going to have to dial it back a little bit, because I realize I've given half my money away.
Yeah, so when you go off the phone to me, give your daughter a call and say, look, I appreciate you want to go to Disney, but the problem is I've just given all this money away to a presenter I've just met on the radio and his producer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you know what, babe? Listen, instead of Disney World, how about I just go push you on the swing for a little while? Would that work?
Yeah, with It's a Small World playing on YouTube. That's the same thing, isn't it?
There you go!
Ultimately.
And it's like we're at Disney.
Yeah, just say
there it is.
Say you're doing the. Say to her, just tell her this is a thing. How old is she?
She's four.
Oh, she won't understand then. So just say to her, there's a thing we can do, sweetheart. We can either do Disney normally, and she'll go, yeah, or do you want to do Disney special? And she'll go, oh, Disney special, please, Daddy. And you go, right, Disney special is called, we call it Disney blind. And what it is we do Disney, but we blindfold ourselves so that we can empathize with people that have lost their sight, right? So then just stick a blindfold on her, put It's a Small World on a stereo, and just push her on a swing.
There you go. We make it happen. That was awesome. Do you have kids?
No, obviously not.
Wow, you already know how to be a piece of shit. You already know how to be a scumbag parent. I love it.
Yeah, so that's why I'm not Adam. But here's the beauty of that idea, Chris. Here's the beauty of it. Do you know how much that costs?
Yes.
£0
or
dollars. Yeah, nothing. She's had the time of her life.
Boom.
As she gets older, she will remember that as being an amazing experience that she did, quote unquote, Disney blind, TM, which I'm gonna get trademark on that. Disney blind, right? You've not spent a penny. She's happy. Your ex will be pissed off about it, so you've upset her as well. That's a bit of a bonus.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this. What would you do? So I just got the payout for the ring. Should I give my ex half the money? Should I do that, or should I just keep it? What should I do?
Ooh. Again.
It's a tough question.
Again, well, there are caveats to it, I think. Did you leave on good terms?
Well, I mean, we have a child, so like we left on good terms. We're good co-parents, but obviously the relationship, it ended in flames. But, you know, we're co-parents, so I could either take all $9,000 and put it right in my daughter's college fund.
Yeah.
Or I could give my kid's mom half of it, and then I put half into my kid's college fund. or I could just keep it all, or I could give it all to the homeless, like we said earlier.
Oh, it's difficult, that man. I think, well, college fund, I guess, would be number one. I think probably would be the best thing, because then that's a sort of a guaranteed thing for it to be directly to the kid, if that's what you wish to do. If you feel, do the kids stay with their mum?
We split the time. Like I see her. We split it.
Okay. Well, in that case, does she pay you money for when you're looking after the kids?
No. Okay. No. I pay for everything. I pay for her rent and bills. I pay for everything. I'm running this whole thing, baby.
But are you the primary breadwinner though? So are you in a financially better situation?
I am. Yes.
Okay.
I
so that's fair enough, isn't it? Really, I guess.
Yeah. That's fair enough. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
So, I don't know. It's a tough one. You threw a tough one at me, I want to throw a tough one on you.
Yeah, I know. Here, I'm considering it. I think either A or E. I think either the first one, college fund, or I think give it to the homeless. If your children aren't wanting for anything and college isn't going to be an issue anyway because you're affluent enough, or you will be affluent enough at that point to deal with that, if you can afford to give money away,
maybe.
And I think this of everyone, if you can afford to give money away, if you've got money that is literally spare, I believe you should give it away. That's what I believe.
Yes, that's a true point. It's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a good point. All right. Well, you made me feel better. All right.
But what I don't want, Chris, is I don't want to be summoned to court. Saying that I said do
it. Well,
that's what I don't want.
Yeah, the thing is now, unfortunately, you're involved, you're a witness.
I'm complicit, aren't I?
Just I hope you have your passport, because you may get summoned to court.
I am complicit. What if I, what if I end up dating your ex?
Please, 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 please date my ex. I would love that. Would you pay me? I'm talking about, I'll pay you. I'll give you this $9,000 right fucking now if you date my ex and get her off my back. I swear to God.
Right.
Just date her.
Okay.
Nice English guy. Just be good to my kid. Blindfold her. Push on the swing. Tell her she's not with me. I'll give you $9,000 right now if she never calls me and asks you what I'm doing again.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm not tempted, Chris. Is it like from the conversation we've had thus far, do you think that we were... Because part of me thinks, hang on, is he doing that to punish her? Is he saying, oh, yeah, go out with this guy?
No.
Right.
Brother, let me tell you something. She is gorgeous. My daughter's mother is this gorgeous, beautiful Puerto Rican Latina.
Okay.
She would love... She would love your accent and everything and how well you're doing. I mean, and it would just be beautiful for me. It would be beautiful. She would just be off my back. I could do whatever I want.
You're
It'd be great.
You're going to have to move, though, aren't you? You're going to have to move to New York,
though,
aren't you?
But I sometimes hop over
Buddy,
to
move to
Big
New York.
Anyway.
I got a two-bedroom.
Okay.
I got a two-bedroom. Live with me. Live with me. I don't care.
Do you know what, Chris? Right, I've got to say this. Every time I speak to someone from New York, right, of varying levels of fame and fortune as well, by the way. Some hugely famous, some a bit famous. Every time I speak to someone on this show, they always ask me to live with them. This happened with a bloke from a Martin. Was it a Martin Scorsese film or something?
The Martin Scorsese actor. I think Bob Saget.
Bob Saget did as well. He said come and stay as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we'd love to. You and Bob Saget come live with me. I don't care.
But it's not. I don't want to do it just because you all. Is there like a thing going around all like comedians in New York? Like, oh yeah, get Ian Bolesworth over here to fuck your wife. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, that's what it is. I'll be a cunt.
Right.
Fuck my wife.
Nine,
come on, Ian.
$9,000 is a lot,
isn't it?
$9,000. Yeah, but
it's
still a lot, isn't it?
I'll honor whatever it is in pounds. I'll honor that too. I'll pay the difference.
£9,000 now.
Get over here. Have sex with my kid's mom. Get over here.
Glad you finished that sentence.
It's an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah, but that's the problem because it sounds like it's too good to be true.
Yeah.
So I don't want to show my hand now because it sounds too good to be true.
Okay.
No, I disagree, man. I'm telling you, it's beneficial for both of us. You could come to the U.S., you got a place to stay, you get a hot girl, and I won't have to deal with just an enraged Latina anymore because all that anger and energy will be directed right at you. So it'll be perfect.
But I can soak that up, man. I'm good at that. I can soak that up because I don't really get angry very much.
Soak it up, man.
I do sometimes, but
very
rare. Yeah,
like the... Yeah, the English, you guys are a calmer group of people, and you can deal with stuff, so, do it.
Yeah, I could make her a cup of tea, couldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. A little Mary Poppins. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, hi. Hi, Maria. Whatever her name is. Hi, Maria. Would you like a cup of tea?
No.
I could do it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tea. She would love it. Are you kidding me? She'd fucking love it. She's feisty. She's hot. So, yeah. Think about it.
And because your kid's blindfolded on the swing outside, I could just essentially bring a rope back from the swing into the house. So while we're inside on our tea, I could just pull that rope.
Yeah, she'd be blinded. Yeah, she'd be blind as a bat. She doesn't know what the fuck is going on. It all works.
Yep. Yeah, I think I'm in.
That sounds good.
Hey, brother. Listen.
I'll let you know for definite, but I think I am in.
I fly back to the U.S. July 1st. Get on that plane.
Okay.
That's tiny.
Yep. Actually, that's handy as well, because I'll have the $9,000 from him, and I might get a bit of birthday money, you never know.
So you can book a flight, get your stuff
easily,
in order.
Dude. Get a business class seat.
Yeah, I think I'll do that. Yeah. I think I will do that. All right, well, look, I'll be sorting out all visas and all that sort of stuff, unless you want to do it. I mean, how easy is it to get into the US at the moment?
I could get you, and don't worry about it.
Okay, perfect.
Close friends.
All right, well, here's what we're going to do. I'll sort out all that sort of stuff. I'll get packed and all the rest of it. I'll just, you know, put my house in order before I leave. You come over and do the dates on June the 24th and 25th at the Soho Theatre.
Get tickets at chrisdcomedy.com.
chrisdcomedy.com. All the dates are on there as well. Obviously, the other ones up in Newcastle and the rest of it as well. Yeah. You get all that sorted out. We'll hook up on probably the 30th of June, I guess, just so everything's all in order. And then we'll fly out on the 1st of July, and I'll immediately start fucking your ex.
That's beautiful.
Brilliant.
Perfect. I love it.
Okay, perfect. That's all I wanted from this show.
Well, there we go. What a way to end
beautiful,
the show.
Beautiful, man. It was a pleasure. It was an honor to talk to you guys. Thank you so much.
Well, do you know what was nice about it? It was good that we did the PR, but we also did a bit of business as well at the same time.
Good. You've got somewhere new to live now.
It all makes sense.
Did multitasking, didn't we?
I'm going to tell my ex-wife. I'm going to tell my ex-wife that she can expect some English cock in first week of July.
Hey, Chris. let it be a surprise. Let it be a surprise. How about that? We'll surprise her with it.
Good call. All right, fine.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And what would be nice if you drive me there, then she'd be like, so he doesn't mind. It's okay. So you know, I don't have to worry about jealousy or anything like that.
No, be perfect.
Oh, good.
Perfect. I love
good,
it,
mate. All right,
brother.
Chris,
thank you.
Thanks for your time. Drive safely for the rest of your drive. And I'll see you in a couple of weeks
when
I'm going to have sex with your wife. Ex-wife. All right, Chris. Lots of love.
Right,
cheers,
bye.
Mate. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There we go. That was Chris DiStefano.
Show, right?
Absolutely
you've
perfect.
$9,000.
You
have sex with his wife, ex-wife.
Yep, going to be. I think I'm going into a relationship and also bringing up his kids as far as I can
understand.
I feel
like you're living with him, not his wife for the minute.
I'm stopping with him. Yeah.
You'll stay with him.
No, I'm stopping with Chris, yeah.
Lovely. Well, lovely birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Do you think I should be... Do you think I should keep him up to date on what we get up to him and his missus, or do you think?
Well, it sounds a bit. I think he'd appreciate that. Maybe a 1:30 a.m. text just to let him know.
If that's if I stay over at hers.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I imagine you will be a bit, right?
All right.
Well, bring her over to his.
No.
Don't want to do that.
I don't want to get involved in any of that.
Well,
I don't want it to be.
Okay.
Oh, maybe I'll join in as well. I don't want any of that. Thanks to all my guests from the show today. We had Sarah Alexander, I apologise. KSA was on the phone with the other bloke,
Randolph,
and Chris DiStefano there, who did a very good deal there.
They're
very good deal.
Really liked that.
By the way, in case anyone thinks it's offensive, I am going to wait and see if she wants to.
Yeah, of course.
He's not just sold her to me.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's like he's going to speak to her.
How much for the wave? It's not like that.
No, I think.
And Chris is at the Soho Theatre as well. If you want to pull him up like directly for it,
well,
get down there.
He'll probably give you £500 just 24, for going. 25th. That's what he was saying, wasn't he?
Just say you heard on the radio you get £500 for going. So
yeah,
he won't remember what he said. See you next week.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.